Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We have a wonderful, wonderful lineup today, and I'm really very excited. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what our cultural messages are, because we're going to really talk about how not to age. And most of you think, okay, maybe we can do something to look better and do something to feel better. But my first guest, Ellen Wood, is not sure what her age is, and that's fine because she looks incredible and speaks incredibly. And she has written a book, and she believes that we actually can turn back the clock and move into growing younger, which is incredible because there are so many cultural messages, especially in the United States, that really talk about how aging is inevitable, that you're going to get lines, you're going to get gray hair, and it's so ingrained in us and in our belief system that that's what we grow up thinking, that's what we grow up believing. But we're just going to talk about the fact that it's about reversing aging, turning back that hand of time. And I was watching a show the other day and discovered that anti-aging is an $88 billion industry. Pharmacists and doctors are making money off of 78 million baby boomers who really don't want to grow old. But we have Ellen Wood here today, who's on a mission to show people how to grow younger, and she is living proof that that's possible. In 2004, Wood began a daily program of practices that she created with the goal of growing younger, and it worked. She's regained the energy, stamina, and she enjoyed 30 years ago, and she has a clearer, sharper mind and a stronger body. This success that she experienced in reversing the pattern of aging led Wood to share her techniques for growing younger, and she's appeared on national and local television and radio. And her first book, The Secret Method for Growing Younger, Ellen describes processes to both uncover and replace unconscious beliefs that block the possibility of growing younger. Her book has been endorsed by David Simon, Larry Dossey, Norman Shealy, and more. So without further ado, Ellen's on the line and waiting. Hello, Ellen. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Joanne. Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure, too. So I want to know, is it really, really possible that we can grow younger? How did you find that out?
Well, you know, when we can conceive of growing younger, we've taken the first step toward making it happen. And you were talking about our culture, and, you know, our society especially has been handicapped by ideas and beliefs about aging that we've inherited from previous generations about how it looks and feels to add years. And you know, Joanne, we were led to believe that it means that we're progressively deteriorating and that growing older is often painful and there's no way we can avoid it. But if you look at it this way, not so many decades ago, everybody believed that people couldn't fly. And then little by little, a few forward thinkers refused to believe that flying was impossible, and instead they figured out how to do it. And today we have age-reversing pioneers, and that includes some scientists and physicians who are shaking the roots of the current belief system about aging, and we're figuring out how we can grow younger as we age.
You know, I think that's so incredible because you're so right. It's our belief system, and it starts at a very early age. It gets handed down to us by not only the culture, as you and I were speaking about earlier, but also our families. And I read on your website that you've also had a mother, like I have, who went through dementia. And there are many of us who, when they've experienced a loved one, a parent or some relative or friend who's gone, particularly a relative who's gone through dementia, their fear is really multiplied. It's like, oh, my God, it's in my genetic makeup and it's in my genes, and what do I do? And I know I went around with that thought for a while, and then I decided, nope, I have a steel trap as a brain, and that's not going to happen, and I refuse to let that happen. So how did you overcome that fear?
Well, you know, that's how I started my program. I didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll put together a program to grow younger. It was after my mother wasted away with Alzheimer's, I began to worry that the same thing was going to happen to me. And like you, I'd read a lot about it being hereditary. So I was sure that my mind and my brain was going to go the same way as my mother. And of course, because I kept focusing on it, pretty soon I found my mind slipping. I mean, actually slipping. My short-term memory became very fragile, and my tongue kept tripping on words, if I could even find the word. And it got so bad, Joanne, that my kids insisted I go to the doctor for testing. And back in those days, you know, the standard Alzheimer's test was a question. It's like, what year is it? And who is president of the United States? And I got all those right. But the thing is that I have been working with Dr. Terry Grossman on his longevity program. And in it, he gives a lot of tests, different tests, blood tests and reflex tests and so forth and so on. But the one test I absolutely insisted on was I wanted to know if I had the Alzheimer's gene. And the reason I wanted to know is because of all the baby boomers who are taking care of parents with dementia, and they're worrying that the same thing's going to happen to them. And I told him, I said, look, if I have it, I want to be able to say to them, you don't have to worry. There is something you can do. You don't have to worry about it being hereditary. If I have it, I'm going to show you that I'm not going to let it get expressed. And so I had the test, and I do have it. I have the worst gene. It's called the APOE4. And it means that I am most likely to get the Alzheimer's disease, but I'm not going to let it get expressed, Joanne. I am not going to let it get expressed, and there are things that we can do to not let it get expressed.
You know, I think that's great. I also, in my family, there's a lot of arthritis. My mother had it, my sister has it, and I said, you know what? I don't believe in arthritis, and I'm not going
Good.
To get it. So when you talk about beliefs, it's so very, very important. So how did you – you talked about dementia with your mother and going and testing yourself for the gene, but how did you really come to develop this really innovative program?
Well, I was cleaning out the garage one day in 2004, and I came across some old photos of me from a long time ago, and I remember thinking, oh, well, that part of my life is gone, and here I am slipping into old age, and I'm watching my mom, so I know exactly how to do it. But I didn't want my mind and body to fall apart, and I wanted to be fresh and alive and strong and healthy and full of vitality. And so that day in the garage of all places, I decided that I would be fresh and alive and that I would grow younger. And it was then that occurred to me to take the mind-spirit practices that I had used so successfully for decades in other areas of my life and apply them to growing younger. And so I changed those, applied them to growing younger, and then pretty soon I started finding a lot of body, I did some research and got body techniques for growing younger, and I started adapting all those and into quick steps for that I would say and think to every time that I would reinforce a negative mindset about aging. I came up with a 30-second grow younger method to change that mindset, and soon a whole program developed. And after practicing for about 3 years, my results were so astounding that it became my passion to share this program with other people.
Well, I'm so glad that you did, because there are many of us out there who really want to change and stop the clock, as we were talking about, but many people don't know how. And like we said, they're just so tied to the past and to their genetic makeup. I was in an airport, I guess it was about a year ago, I was doing a presentation, or maybe it was a year and a half ago, on really it's kind of like anti-aging, which is more about you're as young as you think. And I was studying my PowerPoint presentation. There was a gentleman there who was, I guess he was looking over my shoulder, and he said, you know, it's really all in the genes. And I hadn't said anything to him. He said, I'm going to my brother right now. That's where I'm flying, who's having heart surgery, and it's in all my family, and it's just destiny. And I didn't want to say anything to him because he was upset about his brother. But I thought, you know what? That's not what I preach. That's definitely not what you preach or what you practice.
Right.
And I don't think that we have to buy into it. So what would you say is the most important thing that people can do to start the process of becoming more youthful?
Well, I would say that it's mindfulness. You need to catch yourself anytime you're saying or thinking anything that reinforces a negative mindset about aging. You know, Joanne, they've done studies on the brain, and it shows that the average person talks to themselves 300 to 1,000 words a minute. And often we're saying things that we don't like about ourselves. So I would say start by watching your thoughts. And start tomorrow morning and to begin to watch your thoughts, and don't judge them, just watch. And find a time every day when you do something mindlessly, you know, where you don't need your conscious mind. The best time is probably in the morning when you get up and, you know, you're in the bathroom brushing your teeth and combing your hair, because you don't need your conscious mind to do those things. You know, you don't need to say, now I'm picking up the toothbrush, now I'm putting toothpaste on it. You know, it's just automatic. It's muscle memory. So that while we're doing something mindlessly, our mind is going lickety-split, you know, 100 miles an hour, talking to ourselves, telling us what we don't like about ourselves. And so you want to raise your consciousness, raise your awareness, and just be aware of your thoughts. And do it for 21 days in a row. Because, you know, they've done behavioral studies that show that it takes 21 consecutive days to form a new habit. And, you know, have you heard of Dr. Rick Hansen?
Yes.
Yes. Well, he wrote about the brain, and he said the brain is Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive. And he wrote about the neuroscience of the brain. He says the brain is going to latch onto something negative in 1 to 3 seconds and keep chewing on it, but it takes up to 21 seconds for the brain to absorb something positive, and then it lets go quickly. So we have to start practicing accepting positive thoughts and holding on to them. And, you know, the whole reason we did this was because of the caveman days. If you were sitting around going, la, 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 oh, I'm having such a pleasant time today, and you weren't alert for that dinosaur coming, you know, you'd get eaten. So that's where it comes from. So what we have to do is retrain our brain to be mindful and catch ourselves when we're saying something negative and change it into a positive.
So, Ellen, it's no more saying, oh, that's just a senior moment, or really, I have a friend who says, oh, it's age, that's why I'm forgetting things. And I say, stop saying that. Your mind is listening. And that's really what you're saying, that our thoughts are just going on and on, probably and mostly negative because of our programming. And we listen. And our mind really doesn't distinguish whether it's real or not real. It just kind of follows the program. And if that's the program that you're putting in place, Ellen, as you're talking about, then that's what's going to happen. You know,
exactly.
Einstein, I did some research many years ago. I was doing a presentation on Einstein. And they were given permission to open up his brain and dissect, because they wanted to see just what was there any differentiation between his brain and other people's brains. And what they found was that he had many different neural open new passageways that were kind of increasing as he was aging rather than decreasing. And I'm mentioning this because I saw something on your website about as you grow younger, the ability to create more of these neural passageways, which really help in thinking.
Right, right. You know, one of the things, the common thoughts, things that people say is, I keep forgetting things. My memory isn't what it used to be. Have you heard people say that?
Definitely.
And when they say that, that's like putting a forget things frequently software program into your biological computer. You know, the brain takes the command and it follows it. So we need to change that because your brain loves exercise. And doing crossword puzzles is good, but Sudoku is even better. But learning something new, like a musical instrument or another language, is much better, and that's what creates new neural pathways in your brain. It wasn't too many years ago that people believed that even the scientists believed that you could not create any new neural pathways, but now they know that you can. So it's that creating, and you know, you might just use your non-dominant hand. Let's say if you're right-handed, use your left-handed to do things. That will create new neural pathways in your brain. And the more neural pathways you have in your brain, the less likely you are to get to experience the symptoms of something like Alzheimer's.
You know, that's so very important. But do you think that it's just vanity to want to grow younger, and that's the mission that we're on, or what, is there something more to it?
Well, it's not vanity to want to enjoy life with vigor and to live passionately and to feel good and share love and joy and accomplishment and adventure. You know, that doesn't have to change because we live longer. And, you know, this man's method, by the way, is not about glorifying youthful appearance so that you can get flattering remarks and admiring glances, but don't be surprised if you do.
I've seen your picture, and I actually was listening to a video and watching it on YouTube, and yes, it's not about vanity, but you look incredible, and you sound incredible, and you move incredibly. So can you share with us what your age is?
Well, Joanne, I am ageless and timeless, but I have celebrated 74 birthdays. Now, here's something I haven't told anybody yet. I haven't even told my kids, but my next birthday will be November 18th, and on November 18th, 2011, I am going to celebrate my 50th birthday. And then every year from then on, I'm going to subtract a year until the year 2036, when I will have been on Earth for 100 years, that's when I will reach 25. And I'm going to stay 25 then for the rest of the time that I'm on this planet.
I love it, Bella. That's wonderful.
Well, because, you know, we have these things in our heads that say we're going to look a certain way or be a certain way at a certain age.
And again, that's those belief systems that you and I were talking about that really stymie people from doing anything differently. Can you tell us where you see this going, this book and everything else? You have other activities. What's the ultimate goal for your program?
Oh, well, I'm really glad that you asked that, because I want to bring together a movement of interested people to change the way our society ages. And we'd begin by eradicating age-related labels for everybody who's 35 and older and replace terms like middle-aged and senior citizens and old folks and give them a new label. And maybe we'd have a contest to do that. You know, do you remember how people who care changed the word mongoloid? They used to call children with Down syndrome, they used to call them mongoloids or mongoloid idiots. Well, people who cared came along and said, you know, that is unacceptable. We will call them children with Down syndrome. Now they're grouped in with others and called, you know, person with special needs. And my 4-year-old granddaughter benefited from that because she has Down syndrome and she's being educated, and we are so blessed to have her in our family. And blacks, you know, too, have benefited from people who cared, who changed the label and so forth. So what I see is a shift in language and in public consciousness, and it's going to allow everybody to mature and grow without self-fulfilling expectations for, you know, progressively deteriorating. And we'll all benefit as more elders contribute their wisdom and experience and energy to resolving problems and improving life. And here's a biggie, Medicare costs will go down. This shift is going to allow people to believe that it is possible. Are you to change their lifestyle and use technologies to grow younger. Are you there?
You know, I think that the consciousness piece is so important. I also have a background in working with children with special needs, and so I understand that because all those labels needed to be changed so
right.
that they weren't actually looked on as different, but really were able to fit in. But the consciousness, the changing consciousness is so vital. I had a client come into my office who was really totally upset because she was about to turn 30.
Oh, my.
And so could you imagine what her view or her perspective is on people who are 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or, God forbid, 80 or 90? So I think you're right. I think we have to change the whole way that we view aging and get rid of all those terms that really denigrate people and are not true anymore, given what you've proven, which I love. So what else would you like to share? We have a few more minutes. What else would you like to share with our listening audience?
Okay, well, I'd like to tell them that if they're interested in my book or my Affirmations to Grow Younger CD, they can go to my website, howtogrowyounger.com, and if they put the word joy, J-O-Y, in the code, they can get 20% off. But I'd also like to say that, you know, if people have, being able to do the affirmations is one thing if it's not something that is really, really painful for you. If it is, then you have to do, there are other techniques like EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, and
right.
the tapping and so forth. But I have a lot of other physical body steps that I'd like to talk about perhaps on another show. How to dry brush your skin and do the Tibetan rites of rejuvenation and sleep on your back and all of those things. But if people just leave today with knowing that they can change the way they think, and if they would just start to be mindful of what they're thinking about, that would be a big start. That would be great.
You know, Ellen, that's so very, very important. And we do have a few more minutes. And I remember seeing your video on dry brushing your skin. And I have to go out and update my brush. But can you give people a little bit of that information? Because that's
sure.
something that they can start immediately before
immediately.
They download your book or purchase your product.
Right, right. You want to get a good body brush. Go to the health food store and get a good one with natural bristles. And get one with a long handle because you're probably going to do it yourself. You know, a lover might get distracted. So what you want to do is always start at your feet and always brush up towards your heart. This is really, really important because your veins are meant to go one way. So always brush up towards your heart. So start at your feet, go up towards your torso, and go up towards your heart, and then from your neck down. And don't brush your face or your nipples. And the other thing is, while you're brushing, be mindful. You know, talk to your body. Thank you, leg, for carrying me around. Thank you, hand, for helping me to carry things and to talk. So you know, dry brushing is very important.
Great, but I also love the messages that you're telling us to do to our bodies, because most people say, oh, look at that my butt is too fat, my hips are too what, and so here's a way to really love your body and nurture
right.
it and give it all those messages, those affirmations that you were talking about to help us not only stay young, grow young, and I wish you luck. Yes, I'd love to have you back on the program. You're an incredible guest. Thank you so much, Ellen, for sharing your wisdom and your wonderful rejuvenating techniques, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Joanne. I've had fun talking with you.
Great. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
My second guest today is Anthony Benedetto, and he graduated from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine in Philadelphia. He completed his internship and residency and surgical training at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio and returned to Philadelphia to begin his practice in dermatologic surgery. He was the first physician in Pennsylvania to practice Mohs surgery for skin cancer, and everybody's worried about skin cancer these days. And Dr. Benedetto is the founder and the medical director of the Dermatologic Surgery Center in both Philadelphia and Drexel Hill, where he practices Mohs surgery and cosmetic and procedural dermatologic surgery. So he's also the director of fellowship training in Mohs micrographic surgery and written books and articles, and it is a pleasure. He was also named the Dermatologist of the Year in 2009, so it's a pleasure to welcome you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, okay, good. Yes, I can. I didn't know if I had to push another number or
no, you're good. You're good,
okay,
and we're
good.
On the air.
That's
so
good.
So it's a little bit different from we've gone from reversing aging to what we can do in terms of really supporting our skin with a lot of different kinds of procedures that you support and that you actually promote. So tell us a little bit about what got you involved in this practice.
Well, I'm a dermatologist, and we take care of the skin. And not only does the skin develop disorders and diseases, but it also ages. And especially with my focus on skin cancer, aging and skin cancer is produced by excessive sunlight, excessive environmental exposures, and that not only creates pre-skin cancers, pre-malignancies and malignancies, it also ages the skin. So with the excessive sun exposures that some of us tend to get, we start to get wrinkled, we start to get leathery skin, and then develop skin cancers. Skin cancers was my primary focus. And then after I cured patients of their skin cancer, they then started to ask me, how can I take care of this defect of my face or this wrinkle, and how can I improve the appearance of my skin? And that's how I got into the cosmetic side. But our main focus is skin cancer, and then the enhancement and maintenance of good, healthy skin is the secondary or the other side of our practice.
You know, I see a lot of young children running around, being out in the sun and out at the beach or whatever, and I don't know that parents are really taking heed and applying sun protection on them or lotion. Do you recommend that at a very young age, or what do you recommend to really prevent sun cancer, skin cancer?
Well, absolutely. I think everyone's awareness should begin when the child is born. Often or too often I see at the beach or outdoors newborns and very young children out unprotected in the full day sun. Most importantly, I think we all should be aware that sun damage is accumulative, and it starts from the second that we are outdoors. So young mothers, young families should be more aware now that a tan is not a healthy tan. A tan is proof that we've damaged our skin. So it is extremely important that, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't send our children outdoors to play and to enjoy nature and enjoy the outdoors, but when we are outdoors, depending on the skin type that we have, we should use a certain type of sun protection. So meaning the skin type, if we're light-complected, we're the most susceptible. And those people, in a very short time, being exposed to sunlight, will develop changes that eventually may lead to wrinkles, leathery skin, then comes the precancerous changes, and then those precancerous changes can turn into cancer. So yes, when someone takes their child out that is 6 months, they should have sunscreens on. They should have protective clothing. They should be in the shade, you know, with some either an umbrella or a hood to their walker, and so on. And now even because of this awareness that we have that sun can damage the skin and cause skin cancer, there is clothing being made for young children for toddlers, hats, gloves, different swimwear that's protective against UVB rays and UVA rays. So that's extremely important that as we grow, as our children grow up, they should be always aware that they need to use sun protection when they're in full sunlight.
Now, you've actually been practicing for a really long time.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm getting older.
What I want to know is, have you actually experienced people coming in at young, very young ages, like young children with skin cancer?
Thankfully, not as many as the potential is there. But yes, I think the youngest person that I have treated with skin cancer, that is a basal cell carcinoma or a squamous cell carcinoma, was 18 years of age. I know in the literature, someone can develop melanoma in early childhood. Thankfully, I've not had anyone in their teenage years that have had a melanoma, but I have treated those in their 20s with melanoma. And melanoma, there's almost a direct association with sunlight exposure, intense, long-standing sun exposure, and the development of melanomas. So the majority of patients that I usually see with skin cancers depends on their skin type. There's five skin types, and one being very sensitive to the sun. And the majority of patients are usually two or three. You know, if you're of Northern European extraction, it's usually a skin type of two. The typical redhead who really burns easily out in the sun, they're usually a skin type two. Then come the ones who can tan eventually and are almost olive-colored skin, more Southern European extraction. They're usually a three. And the progression goes on to African-American or usually a five or a six. So the ones who are one, two, and even three really need to be protective of themselves when they're outdoors.
Now I have a question. There many people are actually being aware and are following that those directives about not being in the sun or putting on some creams and lotions that actually prevent sun damage. But what about those creams that people that actually say that it can tan your skin? You put something on, some lotion on, and in a few days or a few weeks, your skin looks more tan. Is that healthy? Because I've seen that, and I've seen people using it, and I just don't know.
Well, you're talking about the skin stainers and the skin bronzers. There's
yes.
Nothing wrong with that. I think that whole concept developed because in the last 50 years or so, everyone has been accustomed to developing a tan, wanting a tan, because it makes them feel and look healthier when it really isn't, because I just told you that.
Right.
But so now we have simulators, something that may make you look like you had a tan, and so that makes them feel good about themselves. So some people, because of the way they were brought up, cannot stand not to have a tan. So those bronzers really are fairly safe. They've been vetted, and the chemical composition and not cause any additional problem except stain your skin.
Now, what can people do to actually maintain really good skin and avoid skin cancer? What kind of suggestions in terms of maintenance do you recommend?
Well, I don't know what direction you're going, but we already talked about maintaining your skin and trying to prevent skin cancer. So using sunscreens when you're out in full sun, and if your skin is dry, you can use a moisturizer to make it look supple and youthful. Now, if you're going in the direction that I think you are, meaning as we age, we'd like to look as young as we could and less tired and less worn and weary, then there are now different cosmetic products, or I should say aesthetic products, that are being used to remove some of the dynamic wrinkles, wrinkles that occur because the muscles of our face are overactive and cause frowning and wrinkling of the forehead and wrinkles of different parts of the face. And now these products that can reduce the appearance of them, not eliminate them, but temporarily reduce the appearance of them, they're called neurotoxins. And right now we have two that are very popular. The first in the United States was Botox, and then a recent entry into the market is Dysport. And they, as I said, reduce the appearance of wrinkling because they weaken the muscles that create the wrinkles. Then there are the deep furrows and indentations in the skin that occur because of aging and shifting of different soft tissues of the face, causing sunken-in eyes and deep lines around the mouth. They're sort of permanent and not necessarily dependent on movement of muscle. Those kinds of changes are corrected by fillers. And the original fillers started in the 1980s with collagen, and then they've developed into other sorts of fillers that we have now. We have a good host of them. And some of them are called hyaluronic acids, Restylane, Juvederm, and calcium hydroxylapatite, Radius. These are injectables that will enhance and replace some of the lost tissue that occurs with aging.
Is there any one that's better than another for, that you would recommend, or are they all somewhat the same? Or could they
no, they're not all the same.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, they're not all the same, but they all have their own characteristics, and their use in certain reasons. Certain areas of the face can only be injected with hyaluronic acid and collagen. Other areas of the face can be injected with Radius or calcium hydroxylapatite. There's a new one, Artifil, and Sculptra. These are other products that are being used that are a little bit more permanent in duration, and they should be used specifically in certain ways by a physician who understands the anatomy of the face. So I don't recommend any one product. I think all the products that are available that have been approved by the FDA can be used in the correct hands, in the knowledgeable physician injector, and that's really the trick. I always tell, and I do give a lot of lectures and instruct other physicians on how to use these products. I always say it's not what you use, but it's how you use it.
Now, a lot of people are very afraid of Botox because of where kind of its origins, and even some doctors have said that it's very dangerous to really inject that into the skin. Can you kind of refute that in some way?
Well, I don't know what doctor would ever say it's kind of dangerous to inject into the skin, but if patients or any individual would be afraid of Botox because its origins are bacterial and it is a biologic toxin, then they should be afraid of penicillin because that was a fungus that could, absorbed and taken in, not modified the way it is for medical use, could be very dangerous too. There are a lot of products that we use in medicine that come from nature. And once we know their mechanism, we can modify them and make them beneficial for our use. So there, botulinum, and I tell all my patients this, botulinum toxin or Botox or Dysport is no different than some of the other products that we use even in surgery. We use curare that the indigenous people in the deep jungles of South America would use to paralyze animals and each other when they're in battle and war. We use that in surgery to stop or to reduce the breathing of a patient when we're operating on them and need a relaxation of those muscles. So there's many, many products that we use all the time in medicine that come, like
I said,
from nature.
Right. But
and are very, very safe.
Is it safe over time? Because hopefully people don't necessarily go into surgery once a year or twice a year,
no.
And they don't necessarily take take penicillin or any kind of antibiotic unless they really, really need it. So is there anything wrong with doing this on a regular basis? Because I know a lot of women are loving this and loving what it looks like and feeling really good about themselves when they go and they enhance their beauty through some of these procedures.
Absolutely. No, there really isn't any danger per se. Again, any abuse of anything will cause a problem. So even if you abuse water, you can create a problem in our bodies. So, by overconsumption or whatever. But as long as it's used in a prescribed way by a physician who knows how to inject it and when to inject it and not overdose and wait the prescribed amount of time between injections, there's absolutely no reason to be fearful of it. As a matter of fact, there have been studies to show that, and there were studies of twins, that one twin had Botox injected on a regular basis, meaning maybe twice or three times a year for certain wrinkles of their face, and the other twin did not, and there was a big difference in the way they looked at the age that they were. One looked her chronological age and maybe even more or even older because she did not receive the Botox injections on a regular basis, where the other twin who was getting the Botox looked much younger. Her appearance looked much, maybe almost 10 years younger than the other twin, which is not always the case. Usually twins age evenly most of the time. So, no, your question whether it's dangerous for extended use, I would say no, absolutely not. And I've been using it now more than 20 years. I started in the late 80s or late 90s, using Botox.
So what other procedures and what else do your two centers offer to people? And do you mostly treat women or is it open to men and women?
It's open to anyone who feels that they would like to have an enhancement of their appearance and to look younger and feel younger about themselves. So, yes, men and women. But we have a whole host of things that we do only because this is our training as dermatologists. So we have different lasers to make people young, removing pigmented lesions, vascular lesions, people who have a lot of problem with rosacea, redness of the face, flushing of the face. We have lasers for that. We have lasers to remove a lot of the sun damage of the skin if they've spent a lot of times outdoors vacationing or working. So now they're developing the leathery skin, the deep wrinkles, and the cancerous changes. We do resurfacing of the face with, it's called a carbon dioxide or CO2 laser. There's many, many different CO2 lasers and resurfacing lasers. The one in particular that I use is the Active FX and Deep FX, the Encore laser. Then there are other lasers for hair removal, and that's the one thing that a lot of patients or people do not understand is that as they age after menopause, facial hair becomes a problem. It becomes commonly seen, and a lot of women want that removed from their face because for many reasons. And the problem with hair removal is if the hair is light, it has no color, has no pigment, and no color, then the laser is ineffective. So I have had a lot of patients say, well, I've been waiting for a time where either I don't feel embarrassed about coming to the doctor and asking to have this treated or when I can afford it, because most of the time these laser treatments can be affordable. But they come when they procrastinate. They come when half the facial hair is white and the other half is dark brown or black, and any the laser treatments that we have or anyone else has, we can eliminate those darker hairs, but the white hairs remain, and there's really nothing else to do about it. So that's one thing I would like to encourage people to understand, that hair removal is only effective on darkly complected hairs. Then we have other treatments that we do for leg veins as well as facial veins, sclerotherapy, laser treatments. We do a lot of liposuction for trying to reshape and return to the shape of the body that patients would like to go back to, that when they remember when they were at a younger age. And there are, you know, a whole host of other things that we do.
So in terms of hair removal, it's best to get to it early rather than to wait. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more, and if they're also interested in coming, Dr. Benedetto, and receiving some of your services?
Well, we have a website, and the website is www.benedettoderm, it's our last name, Benedetto Derm, D-E-R-M, like Michael, like dermatology.com. So it's benedettoderm.com, and in that website we have all our procedures that we do. We have pictures of the staff and suggestions on different products and different, like I say, procedures that are recommended for certain conditions. And on that website, we have our phone number. We're in the yellow pages, white pages, and you can contact us that way. Our location is in Center City at 12th and Locust, and the other location is at Lansdowne and Garrett in Drexel Hill.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's been very enlightening, and thank you so much for choosing to appear on my show, and I look forward to talking to you again. And can you just repeat that website one more time for people?
So it's Benedetto Derm.com. It's
okay.
Our last name, Benedetto Derm, one word. Benedetto Derm.
And it's on my website, right? And it's on my website, and your name's also on Blog Talk Radio and Diva Toolbox, so people can go to any one of those sites and get more information. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. It was. Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Bye bye.
So, folks, we've been talking about actually some incredible things, how to turn back the clock and how to grow younger, and then followed by procedures that you can use, one, to prevent sun cancer, which has really been kind of like an epidemic, in particularly in the United States, because people have just loved to adorn their skin with browning and toning, and also other anti-aging procedures that Dr. Benedetto does too. But I wanted to tell you that there are some other ways that you can help with aging, and some of them has to do with diet. There are some incredible anti-aging foods like wheatgrass, blueberries. You've heard about the incredible properties and healing properties of blueberries. Avocados. All of these have wonderful antioxidants in them, and they really battle wrinkles and premature aging. So you can use, I'm not saying don't go to anything else, but you can actually help this process along the way, not only by following Woods procedures that we're going to our dermatologist, but also taking a look at some of the anti-aging foods. Also salmon, red peppers, and whole grains. These can actually replenish the body and help with anti-aging, and because of the anti-aging oxidants. So if you're having morning coffee, and many of us do, and you decide to have a donut or something real sugary with your coffee, maybe it's about saying no, not only about your figure, but also about preventing wrinkles. So glycation, or sugar damage is really right up there in terms of accelerating skin aging. And so I'm not, those simple sugars and starches like white processed bread really create some kind of inflammation in the body that really helps the body age prematurely. Spinach is a great anti-aging veggie. And tomatoes is really another one, and many of us love that. You can stock your refrigerator with tomatoes because they have wonderful ingredients in them and nutrients in them and can protect the skin from oxidation, which is caused by sun damage. The other thing that many of us do not know, and when I read this and found this out, I went to the store and stocked up on, you guessed it, dark chocolate. Now, I don't eat a lot of sugar, but I eat organic dark chocolate. And chocolate's been feared by many that it can trigger facial breakouts or it can make you gain weight. And, of course, too much sugar and too much fat in your diet certainly can add to that. But regular consumption of dark chocolate increases the skin's fight against UV light, reduces roughness in the skin texture, and can actually increase blood flow to the skin, promoting skin plumpness. So, again, be wise about how you consume it, but it's really, really important to take care of your skin and take care of your body with nutrition. And also, we all know about exercise. With exercise, that many doctors are saying exercise is the pill, and it's not really a pill, but is the antidote to aging. So it doesn't mean that you have to go out there and run a marathon, but it does mean that you need to be active, and sitting and being a couch potato is just going to age you, age your brain, age your skin, and it's probably not something that we want. But remember those affirmations from Ellen Wood. So remember that there are ways for you to keep yourself healthy and happy, and there are ways to turn back that clock and to become more youthful. And some of it, as Ellen Wood talked about, is in your belief system. So I thank you so much for being here today and sharing wisdom and insight of our two wonderful guests, and I just want to give you a little bit of a preview of who's going to be here next week, March 23rd. We have Johnny Gillespie, an empowered yoga, and he actually founded Plexus and believes it's a health and fitness company in Wilmington, Delaware, and he goes all around the world. He's been featured in Esquire, Natural Bodybuilding, Fit Yoga, and Your Health magazine. And his extensive study of both Western and Eastern science allows him to deliver an incredible experience. So we're really excited about having him as a guest. And also, we have a dear friend and colleague of mine, Nancy Ferrari, who's also a host on Blog Talk Radio and Boomer Authority Radio Network. And she's host of the show, Feel Free in the OC with Nancy T. So she is energetic and vivacious, and she's going to talk about life energy and how to maintain your life energy for health and success. And all that's happening next Wednesday, beginning at noon Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Time. And afterwards, on March 30th, we're going to have the famous Dee Wallace, who played the mother, she's an actress in E.T., the extraterrestrial. She's a healer and has worked as an author, teacher, and dancer and actress in film and television and the stage for over 30 years. She goes around the country speaking about conscious creation and how to change your belief system and fears that sabotage you. So tune in so that you can have more creative energy, joy, and flow. And she's also often called the irreverent healer. She's funny and will bring a lot of energy and love. So I look so much forward to these wonderful, wonderful guests, and to you who are wonderful in participating and listening. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your feedback. We want to know what you like, what other shows you'd like us to feature on the Power Your Life show. And you can reach me directly at, go to my website, docwhite.org, or email me at joanne@docwhite.org and find out what's going on with Power Your Life, other books, other features, other seminars, and have a blessed and a wonderful, wonderful day. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.